So, church, I imagine none of us really like to endure awkward moments, do we? But it's a part of being alive. And I think I will always remember one of the most awkward moments I have had in my life that actually turned out to be one of the most meaningful moments of my life. And it came at one of the most devastating moments. My life. I'm sure some of you know, 11 years ago, I had a sister who died in a car accident. And as you might imagine, that rocks your entire world, okay? And so, of course, after Diana's funeral and coming home, I took time off from church work and didn't really want to go anywhere, didn't want to see anybody or talk to anybody, so stayed home quite a bit. And the parsonage where we lived was right behind the church there. And so where we would sit and watch TV, we could see the church parking lot and see who pulled up, and we could tell they'd get off and they'd kind of look at us, see if anybody was there, they'd come in. And at that time, it served as a really good filter. Didn't want to talk to anybody, so we could see anybody coming and close the blinds, right, whatever. But one day, somebody snuck past us. And I don't know how he did it, but Brother Don was his name, lifetime member of this church. Before I could hide away into one of the back bedrooms, before I knew it, Brother Don was standing right in front of me in our living room. And initially, he said all the things that you say when you don't know what to say when someone dies, right? And then he did the most awkward thing ever. He just stood there. Every once in a while, he would maybe look at the floor, look around the house, put his hands in his pocket, and he'd just stare at me again. His eyes were just focused on my eyes. As he kept staring, you could see tears swelling up, but he just stood there in silence. Felt like he was there for hours. But after a few minutes, just standing there, looking at me, he put his hand on my shoulder. He told Gloria and I he loved us. He told us the church loved us. And then he just left. It was awkward. But when he left, I realized how meaningful that moment was for me. It meant everything that day. Some of you have probably heard me say many times that what has gotten me through the most difficult moments in my life has been the presence of God and the people of God. And what we understand is that when the people of God are present, God is there with them. So today we are talking about presence, and often when we talk about presence in church, what we think we mean is presence in church, like being in church. Now, on one hand, that is what we mean. It is important for us to be here together. Being present here matters to the life of the church. And not just being present either, but participating in what we do and in who we are. Being present, participating. You may not realize this, but your presence is an encouragement. And your presence is transformative as well. When you show up, you bring your story, you bring your voice, you bring your prayers, you bring your hope, you bring your love, you bring your smile, and that all makes a difference in who we are together here. Because faith in Christ is not a solo venture. It grows in the soil of relationship. Relationship with God, relationship with one another. So being here on Sunday mornings matters. Being a part of what we do as a community of faith matters. But of course, we also mean something much more than just being here, being present in the sanctuary. We mean being present in the lives of the people we call our church family. Being present means sharing our sense of belonging and our understanding of what we mean by saying that our lives matter to each other. Now, I know. I've been around not as long as some of you, but I've been around a while now, and I know being present with other people can be weird because sometimes people are funny, aren't they? Now, I don't mean when I was growing up, mom or somebody would say that, oh, you know so-and-so, they're kind of funny. And we didn't mean like, oh, they're funny, ha-ha, they tell good jokes. We mean like, they're kind of funny, they're kind of weird, right? And you know what? People can be weird, and it can be hard for us to figure out what it means for us to be present with them. But I want to remind you of two things. First, you're kind of weird yourself. We all have our quirks, don't we? We all have our peculiarities, right? The second thing I'll remind you of, those words from Ecclesiastes, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. The old preacher of Ecclesiastes, he sure did complain a lot if you've ever read through that book. He complains about everything. So much of life is vanity to him. There's nothing new under the sun. We've all been here before. Here we go again. But even that old grumpy preacher has learned one thing. We need each other. We are stronger together with all our quirks and all our differences because God has brought us together. Amen? Think about that. God made this church. Now maybe you, if you were building your church, you'd have some other people in your church. But this is God's church. God brings all whom God wants to be here. And so our presence then means carrying one another's burdens in life. And it also means celebrating one another's joys. Presence isn't only gathering in Jesus' name. It is embodying Christ together for each other. Presence matter. If you've ever walked through grief or hardship or even joy, you know this to be true. Life is too hard to carry alone. In those moments of grief, even though they might be awkward sometimes, even though you would rather not have them, they often become moments of healing for you. You need the presence of others in your grief. But even when something great happens, something joyful happens, first thing you want to do, ooh, I got to go tell so-and-so. Not in like chismoso kind of way, but like, man, let me tell you, right? This awesome thing happened. That's how we are. We know this. We need each other's presence. And so the Apostle Paul gave us the image of the body to help us understand the church. And sometimes I think we hear that image, oh, we are the church, we are the body, and we think it's a cute little Sunday school lesson. But it is actually a powerful understanding of the reality that we all share. And if you've ever had anything go wrong with your body, you understand this. Break an arm or break a leg and things change for you, don't they? Things change about the way you're able to get around, if you're able to get around. Head injuries, right, can be life-altering. And I think men, we know this all too well. So ladies, when we get a cold, listen to us. It may just be a head cold to you, but our entire body is suffering. And it hurts. Amen, brother. And what's great about this image of the body, too, is that it reminds us that it's not just the major parts of the body that matter. Have you ever stubbed your toe in the middle of the night? Your little pinky toe? That toe is about that big. You hit that toe in the middle of the night, your whole body just trembles and you speak languages you didn't know you could speak. It's that little piece of the body that makes a huge difference for the rest of you. And I know, speaking of toes, you ever get an ingrown toenail? Think about how little that is and how much that impacts your entire body. Some of the most horrible pain, physical pain I've been through was because of a tooth. That tooth ain't nothing but that big, but it can bring anybody down. Because that is how important the body is. What's the old song? The hip bone connected to the whatever bone, that bone's connected to the other bone. And so maybe we should make a church version of that, right? So, you know, Kelsey kids connected to the Methodist women, and Methodist women connected to the Methodist men, and Methodist men connected to the Sunday school, and Sunday school connected to the choir, and choirs connected to the preacher, and preachers connected to the who? Youth connected to the bereavement committee. Do we have a bereavement committee? Unofficially. Bereavement committee is connected to the church council. No. Because what are we if we're not connected? Y'all with me? So listen then to what the Apostle Paul says about the importance of remembering that we are a body. He says this, but God has so arranged the body, giving greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. Is there dissension in the church? Ask anybody in the United Methodist Church if there's dissension in the church, and they'll tell you what we just went through over the last several years. Is there dissension in our nation? I am convinced. I remain convicted that if the church can live as the body of Christ that cares for, that has compassion for the least of these, those that we would rather not be around, if we could practice presence faithfully, we will be the witness to the world that shows them the true love of God. Paul says it very clearly, that there may be no dissension within the body. And as you and I can live like that as God's church, we can witness to the love of God to the rest of the world. So that world that is arguing with itself constantly, the church being present faithfully, is God's witness to what could be. Because presence doesn't just help us get through or survive life's difficulties. Presence transforms us. It makes us stronger. It teaches us how to live. It draws us closer to God. And I tell you all that, and I get it. Believe me, I get it. Our culture is busier than ever. Your calendars are already packed. I know that. Your attention is scattered. And I bet you know just as much as I know that when life gets a little overwhelming, one of the first things we tend to let go of is presence. Presence of with God here in worship, but even presence with one another in community. A pastor put out an online poll one time, and he asked church leaders to share the good excuses he heard from people on skipping out on church and not being with the church family. And I have a bunch of them here. I'm not going to share them all, but I have a few of them here that I thought would be, I don't know, it might be intriguing for us. So these are some of the best reasons to skip church. Y'all with me? Ready? You might want to take notes for this, right? Number one. The church is too close to drive and it was too far to walk. So maybe we just move the church building somewhere else, right? All right, here's the second one. He says, both of my girlfriends attend church there. What? Cochino. Somebody said I had to skip because my kids take naps during that time. It's all right, they can nap with the other husbands, right? Somebody said gas prices are too high. I couldn't go to church. Okay. These last two are great. Somebody said we had to skip church because my wife cooked bacon for breakfast, and our entire family smelled like bacon. I'd sit by them, right? And the last one, we had to skip out in church because we were out of peanut butter. Now, in my Dale, recognizing the importance of peanut butter, let me offer you a relational truth. When you don't show up, something is missing. When you don't show up, something is missing. The body of Christ is weaker without you. Your encouragement, your handshake, your hug, your prayer, some of you, your cookies and your brownies, all that stuff matters. And it means something. Your smile, your checking in, all the things that make you, you, all of that matters. And the opposite is also true. That when you show up, you might be the exact person God uses to encourage someone else. Now, I told you about Brother Don. Brother Don had been around a long time in that church, and he used to tell me, Pastor Fletcher, you're the best pastor we ever had. You're my favorite pastor ever. I was like, Brother Don, stop it. Quit. Tell me more, right? But I don't remember Brother Don because of the way he would give me compliments. I remember him because he was there for me. There are numerous studies that you can look for online yourself about the effects and the impact of loneliness and self-isolation. But one of them that stood out to me said that 30% of adults in the U.S. feel lonely at least once a week. And I got to thinking about that. That means that could be one in three people here today feel lonely. Even in a place where they're supposed to feel connected, like they belong. Now, I'll let you look up for yourself when you get home statistics about our young people and how they're dealing with all of this. It'll break your heart. And so now I tell you all this because I want to remind you of this picture of what we're talking about. And in the middle of all those circles, we see that one name that means everything to us. And now it reminds us that our life together is about us growing closer and closer to Jesus, closer and closer to following His way. And so, like last week, I asked you when we were talking about prayer to kind of put yourself on that image. How close do you feel to Jesus in your prayer life? And I asked you, just be honest about that. You ain't got to say any answers that you think will get you extra credit or anything like that. That's not how this works. But just to feel willing to be honest to say, you know what, I'm like way out here. And we would say, you know what, that's okay. Today, take one step closer. And so the same way I asked you to do that with prayer last week, I'm going to ask you to do that with presence this week. To think about everything we've just said about what presence is and why it's important. When it comes to growing in our faith and our commitment to Jesus, where are you with the idea of presence? And what's one way you can be more present to the reality of Jesus in your life and to other people in your life? I hope you appreciate what I'm asking. I'm not telling you, are you ready to change your life? Every single part of it right now. Sometimes that works. Sometimes that happens in our lives. Praise God when it does. But quite often what really happens is we say, all right, God, I need your help to take this next step. So what's one way you can be more present to the reality of Jesus in your life and to other people in your life? For some of you, That next step may be being more consistent in worship. Not skipping church to go to other events, but skipping other events to go to church. Can you imagine? Huh? Maybe it's showing up for a friend who's struggling. Maybe it's turning off your phone so you can be more present with your family. You realize I'm not telling you what to do. This is your walk, right? Where are you? Can you decide just to take that next step to greater faithfulness with Jesus? What is your next step towards Jesus? I was just seeing if it was going to feel awkward or not. But I do want you to leave with that question. Lord, what's my next step? And as you reflect on that, as you pray about that, as you make a decision today, sisters and brothers, I want you to be reminded of this good news. God is always with us. It's not that we're chasing Jesus. What we are realizing is that God has always longed for us to be in greater communion with God. And Scripture affirms to us again and again that God is always with us. God was there in the burning bush. God was there in the manger. God was there on the cross. God was there in the empty tomb. And God is here today just the same. Do me a favor. Look around the room, would you please? Look at all those faces. You see all them faces? God's there. Just as much as those people that you see are with you, God is with us. And so trusting that the presence of God goes with us always, I'm going to encourage you to be present. Because when you show up, God shows up too. Your presence makes God's presence known. And when God shows up, lives are transformed, yours included. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God.